Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode number 2 of Girl Fight. First of all, I just want to say thanks to everybody for the huge response that we have gotten from our listeners. We have all 5-star reviews on iTunes.
Aww, you guys are so nice.
Yeah,
awesome.
We heart you. So thanks for listening. We're thrilled that you guys liked the podcast, and we hope to keep it up. So, I am Nicole Tanner. Today, I am joined by Megan Sullivan, Jessica Chobot, and Dana Jungleward.
Hello.
Christine can't join us today because apparently she's
poor
got, like,
planning
work to do or something of that nature. But she should be back next week. But just as a heads up, you may not hear all of us every single week, but we'll do the best that we can. So let's jump right in and talk about what we've been playing. Megan, why don't we start with you this week?
You know, it's not as much as what I'm like playing because I keep trying to download Bionic Commando Rearmed on PSN, and PSN has failed on me for 4 days in a row. And
really?
I have no idea what's up with that because my internet otherwise works fine, so I don't know who or what to blame for that. So I don't know if our readers will be interested, but I am reading Pride and Prejudice as prep work for Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies. So that is what I am doing right now, and I do plan to do some more DLC for Dragon Age, but that is sometime in the future when PlayStation Network works for me.
Yeah. Excellent. Awesome.
Oh, I guess
Pride and, wait a second. Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. What is that?
I heard that.
It came out last year.
It's an epic combination that shouldn't work, but it does. Okay. And basically, it's Pride and Prejudice plus Zombies, and it's surprisingly well written, or so I have heard. I know some people who bought it and were delighted with it.
Wow.
Yeah, and they actually read Pride and Prejudice, so I know that they're not just sort of like, wow, zombies. You know, they actually have some
background.
Thank you. There's the word I'm looking for. Background in literature. So there it is. So if any of our loyal listeners are out there and you like the book, give a shout out because should
I'm
be interesting.
Tired of zombies.
There are a lot of zombie games.
Everywhere. I mean, God.
I'm Dead Rising 2.
Left 4 Dead 2. Plant vs. Zombies.
Resident Evil 5. Oh, come on. Plants vs. Zombies
is awesome.
It's
cute, but it's still a zombies in it. I mean, it could be Plant versus, I don't know,
but they at least, I mean, they have Thriller Zombie and Linebacker Zombie. And they're at least entertaining zombies.
I had to add like 7 zombie games in the past 2 weeks for iPhone into our database. And I was like, really?
Pocket Zombie, which I actually volunteered for them to use my likeness, and now I'm like, I hate zombies. but that was
whoops.
Did they make a zombie version of you?
Yeah, they did. I was the downloadable. I think it was downloadable girlfriend that you could get that could help you. Attack.
How does that make you feel being a downloadable girlfriend?
All right. I mean, it was for charity.
Oh,
so
that's
I actually
nice.
Was totally on board with that.
Oh, zombies that work for good. Wow.
In an odd roundabout way, yes. So it all worked out. But I'm kind of over the whole, like, as much as I enjoy those games, I'm kind of getting tired of seeing zombies all the time.
Well, it's everything. It's like, oh, it's the trend.
Yeah.
Vampires.
And the movies, all the movies are back. So you've got, like, what was that one with... the dude from Cheers.
Woody.
Zombieland?
Yes.
Is that what it was called?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just tired of it. Anyway.
My husband has a total man crush on Woody Harrelson.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it's because he's a redneck. I don't know why. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to stop talking now.
I hope your husband doesn't listen to this.
He totally doesn't. That's
fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, what are you playing, Jess?
What am I playing? Nothing with zombies in it. I'm playing, I'm actually just finished the DLC for Dragon Age Awakenings. Mm-hmm. Totally support Megan, glitchy as all get out, but once you start going, I actually did have a fun time. Mm-hmm. Plan on doing Mass Effect 2 next, and then obviously Splinter Cell Conviction as soon as I get back from my next trip, which is tomorrow. And then I also gave Extreme Baby Maker a chance.
I haven't seen any of this game.
What is this game like?
it was completely, it's all in the name. It really is just like your standard free DLC kind of... like for PC, there's a specific term for them. I don't know what it's called, but basically I'm trying to give an example.
Okay.
There's this one that I played on PC where you're this little Japanese schoolgirl and you're like riding your bike and you're like, hi-yah! and you like do the little hiya and give this power kick to this dude and you send him flying. And it's all about like how far you can send the person or send the object and also use that person or thing to bounce off other objects to go further.
Right. Where so it's really is just this
distance.
Going?
It's like a
so
distance.
So are you ricocheting sperm around?
No, you're actually ricocheting the baby. Oh. So the baby comes out.
That's somewhat horrifying.
The way that babies come out.
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
And you literally shoot the baby out like a ping pong ball.
I would think that they
like
could have just done the ping pong ball
in Mexico. Yeah. Oh, shoot that baby out as far as possible.
Oh, my God.
I can vouch from personal experience. It does not come out that
I haven't
easily.
Seen either a ping pong ball getting shot out or a baby. And I hope to keep it that way with the exception of Extreme Baby Maker.
Yeah.
But
wow.
It was, you know, it was just, it was whatever. It's all in the
How long did you play it?
All of maybe 4 seconds.
Yeah.
I like gave it two shots. Shots. And, I was like, woo, this is a big load of nothing.
Yeah.
So, stopped.
As many, many, many downloadable games are.
Yep. Yeah.
So, was it free or did it cost anything?
I believe I was foolish enough to pay for it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It was, I don't
wasn't
think
a lot,
it was
though, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't much. Okay. But it was
$30.
Yeah. One gazillion. Yeah. Something or other Microsoft points.
You should have gotten paid to play it.
God, seriously.
Just as long as they don't ask to use your likeness for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, grossness.
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
How graphic was the?
It's not. It's like It's like cut paper. It looks like a paper collage kind of thing. Not even up to the standard of like a South Park cut paper.
Yeah. Interesting.
Wow. Not even like that. So.
Okay.
Well, what about you, Dana?
Not a lot, although today I went to the bus stop and I got there a little bit earlier than usual and I was all happy because I'm like, sweet, I'm going to get into work early. And then this stupid express bus, which is a commuter bus and so should be running regularly, took 20 minutes to show up and I was furious. And so I got on the bus and I happened to have WarioWare DIY in my purse. Mm. And so I started making a game about a bus that gets stomped on by Godzilla.
That's awesome.
I was very, very, very irritated and upset and annoyed by the stupid Muni system.
Yeah, but now your bus getting stomped by Godzilla is going to be famous.
Since there you
being
go.
On this podcast, you have to upload it.
So I will have to upload. Well, I have to finish it first.
Well, maybe
it is incredibly hard to make like nice looking art when you're like rattling down the fucked streets of San Francisco with your little
with
stylus.
With all the taxes we pay, you mean our streets aren't paved? Thank you, Gavin Newsom.
Oh my gosh!
Suck.
I have to say, all the express buses go down. Bush, and that road has gotten so much worse in the 3 years since I have been taking the bus to work. It was just like there was like I thought my teeth were gonna crack out of my
head. Dude, don't even get me started on San Francisco. That could easily take up an entire.
Well, that's right. Cause you're recently. You've moved up here within the past year. I've been here for over
a
decade now.
Since August.
So.
And don't get me wrong. It certainly is. Miles better than something like Detroit.
Not that you would know.
No, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I've lived my years in Detroit, just plenty, and I'm glad to be out here. But that being said, you know, for the amount of stuff we pay in regards to taxes, for housing, for or apartments or whatever, just the expense of living here in general, and how many people do live here. And the kind of businesses you see here, the fact that the streets aren't paved, the Muni is running late, you know, there's a crackhead on every corner that I have to deal with. It's like ping-ponging down crackheads when you walk the sidewalk. I can't stand it. I bought a taser, and I'm waiting for one of them to bump into me the wrong way, and they're getting tased.
Did you get one of the cool tasers with, like, the leopard print or something on it?
No.
Girly tasers? You just got a manly taser?
I got a manly taser because I mean business. Not only does it shoot two, like, electrical prongs out at you, but once that hits you, and if you fall, if you try to get back up, I can hit the trigger again. It'll fall again. It'll drop you again.
Sweet.
And then if he's still, or she, manages to get up and start, like, coming at me. It also has got the punch you taser where you, like, have to go run up to him and touch him with it. And that thing is scary.
free. Wow. It's a taser so with apps.
I'm trying to get a
Any stalkers,
volunteer.
Watch out. Ooh, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Oh, if you do that, you got to put it up on the site.
If he volunteers, I'm making him piss his pants.
And I was going to say, that should be the premier Girl Fight video podcast is Bromley. Right. You tasing Bromley.
Done.
Yeah. Oh, if only IGN Legal would let us.
Yeah. Can't we make him sign a waiver?
Yeah, we could. Yeah. I keep trying to tell him, like, come on, guys. Bromley said yes.
Said yes already?
Oh, it's not him that's the problem. Done. It's the higher ups. Pear's kind of blocking this one a little.
Yeah. Just go rogue, like we did with this podcast.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. They tried to block us. And, you know.
He accidentally ran into my taser several times.
Yeah. There you go.
Ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Exactly. So what have you been playing, Nicole?
A lot of Facebook games. First of all, disclaimer to all your hardcore people out there before you start to write me off because I play Facebook games. I have to play Facebook games for my job.
Yes, she does. As her boss, I can verify
this. Some of you, if you read the site and go to the PC channel at all, you've probably seen a few Facebook articles on there written by me. So it is part of my job. I play more of them, you know, than I would if it wasn't part of my job. But I still would play some of them because, honestly, like, I love Harvest Moon. It's, like, one of my favorite franchises. So I'm completely happy farming and raising animals. That is not a validation for Farmville. Farmville is not actually my farming game of choice.
What is your farming game of choice?
Yeah, I didn't know there was another
story.
One.
My God, there's like 200.
Yeah. Dude, I have no idea. Yeah.
Country Story is my farming game of choice currently because it operates more like Harvest Moon than...
Do you think that games like Harvest Moon have to be worried about those kind of games getting so popular on Facebook?
No. It's a completely different audience, and which is a huge discussion that we can get into. Facebook games are not going to threaten the hardcore market
at all.
They're
not made to be played for more than like 5 minutes at a time. Right. You can't play them. I mean, because then you plant stuff, and you're like, all right, I got nothing else to do.
Yeah, you have to wait like 3 hours for it to grow or whatever.
Or 22 hours.
Okay, so it's actually like a time lapse.
Oh, yeah. It's called throttling. It basically, you know, keeps you from advancing.
Throttling.
At a certain it is game no, term I heard from my husband. He's like, that's called throttling. I was like, oh, okay. The other game that I was playing was called Kingdoms of Camelot, which actually might appeal to some hardcore people, but now I'm at the point where I'm at such a high level and my buildings are at such high level that when I go to upgrade them, it takes like 4 or 5 hours where before it would take like 10 minutes or you know, something like that. Yeah. So lots of Facebook games. They're not all bad. Most of them are
bad.
Bad.
Although I know so many people who play Mafia Wars. I constantly, every time my friends, like, somehow I got on their little list and they keep asking me for stuff from Mafia Wars and Farmville and all this other stuff. And I'm like, leave me alone.
Yeah, I hate going through those invitations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
I
mean, you can...
I just let them all stack up there.
But it drives me nuts, like an OCD personality, to have it sitting there with the numbers in the corner. And I'm just like, God, that needs to be zero.
Well, you know what you can do is you can block the application, and then they can't send you stuff anymore.
I kept looking for that in the settings under my profile and stuff.
They make it as tricky as possible to find because they don't want you to block it. But
here's exactly how
you
do that for all those people out there. You go to your requests, which is in the top right-hand corner of your homepage profile, and if you've got invites from people, it'll be like so and so sent you a piece of corn in Farmville or whatever. There is an ignore, an accept, and a block application button. You just hit block application.
But do you have to do block application for every single one you get invited to? Or can you go into your profiles and actually just block any invites like that?
You know what? I haven't tried that.
See, that's what I was looking for.
You used to be able to, but I don't know if you can anymore. I think it may be application by application.
Facebook, not cool, dude.
No, I know.
Yeah. Well, I'm frustrated because I have to add these things for the database, and then I have to go into the actual Facebook thing, and it pulls my information from Facebook. And then I'm like, how do I get rid of this? I don't want to play the game. I just need the description and who made it and everything. I have to go into the app.
Yeah, I don't remember where it exactly is, but you can look at a list of all of the applications that you have authorized on Facebook, and then there's I think it's just under the applications tab on the left hand side, and you can just click deauthorize.
Good to know.
Yes.
All right.
Did everyone get that?
We've got Facebook training.
Did you take notes?
Yes. Yeah, see, I haven't tried the blocking because, like, I technically can't block this stuff because I might have to go back into it one day and play it for work. So, and no, that's not just an excuse. what else am I playing? Last night, I downloaded the Bluto Detective Agency, Detective Files Agency. Forgive me, Relentless Software, if I got your name wrong. I saw it a few months ago. They came here. It's a very kind of cheesy, goofy detective mystery game set in a quaint little English village. And the funny thing is it's made by English developers, and they're really making
fun of themselves. Does it have blue toads in it?
No, that's just the name of the detective agency.
Misnomer.
But it's really, really funny. It's got all this dramatic music that's like, dun, dun, dun. Or, you know, whenever they say, you know, talk about murder, it's always murder. So it's a lot of fun. And if you're listening and happen to have a significant other that you want to play a game with or a family that you want to play a game with, this is a good one. So, yeah. Yes. Awesome. So that's what I've been playing. And
well, before we get too deep into our huge discussion that's coming your way, we mentioned that obviously this is our second one and we're evolving all the time and all that stuff. So, but, you know, I was thinking the other day that the boys have taglines.
Yeah.
And
oh, dear. Here they come. You were threatening these
before we came in. I was just...
You had an evil, gleeful smile.
So I actually had gotten a lot of feedback on Facebook from after the first episode for people saying like how they liked it and this, that, and the other thing. And one of the guys on there, Nate, I won't say his last name just in case, but not that it's not right on my Facebook.
Nate works at the office.
No, not that. Yeah, not that man. Let's hope not. He had a tagline that I thought would be kind of cute, which is it's the Estro generation. So, instead of like beyond, we could be like, it's the Estro generation.
That, I actually don't mind
I think
that.
He reviewed us on iTunes because I think I remember seeing that username.
Yeah. Okay, then he might have sent it over to the Facebook, but then also the one that I came up with, and this is the one that's tacky but funny, is just being straight out like, boobs every time we need to make a really like you know huge capital
huge
letters
exclamation
yes,
mark
totally
exclamation
big
mark,
statement I think we
mark.
Should scream out boobs the way that the guys scream out beyond. So we were what top of so like an example yeah. would
well,
be we were top of the IGN podcast list. Woohoo! Boobs.
Yes.
I think it works.
I think it might too. But what do you guys think? Let us know what you think.
Yeah. Do you want to listen to women screaming boobs?
Yeah.
What do you think they're gonna vote?
Yes. I think it's a great idea.
Yes.
So on that note,
wow.
Yeah. So now we're gonna segue.
It is a little bit catchier than Estro Generation.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That
the Estro Generation speech should be the description underneath our title when we post things, and then the boobs should be like the beyond within the podcast.
Listeners, do let us know what you think. Please make it tactful. That's all I ask.
I don't really know how that's gonna happen. With this
I have faith. My blog readers actually submitted questions and comments, and they all were very nice.
Yeah,
I was
we
very
actually have
impressed.
A lot of nice people.
Thank you so much for that.
Comments.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's jump into our serious topic of the day, which many of you, if you are paying attention to the world of pop culture at all, probably heard that Roger Ebert had posted on his blog, I don't know if this is yesterday or over the weekend, that video games are not art, they will never be art, and any gamer alive today will never live to see them, you know, become art.
And then he further inflamed the gaming universe by basically saying that he was too, maybe the reason that he was just too smart to have played, he'd never played games because he was just too smart for them. Something along those lines. I can't remember what the exact quote
was. And here I'm going to say it.
Yeah, go for it.
An asshat.
Jess has been waiting for that
word. That is my new
it's a very
word,
good word
du jour. And I think it applies perfectly to this asshat. I'm not even going to get started yet because I will just freak out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let you guys know. No.
Okay. I'll jump in there.
Yeah,
I actually happen to like Roger Ebert, like as a film critic. I like him. I used to watch the Ebert and Roper TV show all the time, and I still watch At the Movies. Even
what about Siskel and Ebert? Are you too young for that?
No, no, no.
I actually remember that. I saw
Siskel and Ebert too until Siskel had his brain problems, and then he
died.
Well, before he died, though, he got a little
crazy
on the air. Yeah.
Ebert's following in a close second on that one.
Yeah. So, and I read through his whole blog post. You know, he's obviously a very smart guy. He's very articulate. My biggest problem with his whole blog post, besides the fact that he's judging games having never played them, is that basically the reference was to some reader sent him a link to Kelly Santiago, who is the I think she's a creative director or maybe founder of that game company, which developed Flow and Flower, downloadable games for PSN. So someone sent him a link of a talk that she did where she was saying video games are art. And
at TED, which is like the big Uber
it's
Thinkers
like a huge,
conference.
To be actually invited to speak there is like a huge deal.
Yeah, right. It's like we think you are very smart and that you have very good ideas. Come talk to us about
it. So he watched that speech, which is what made him comment again. He originally commented on this, I think, a few years ago, like 2005 or something like that. But throughout his whole blog post, he's like, you know, she said art means this, but she's wrong. She says art means that, but she's wrong. But throughout the whole thing, he never says what he thinks art means. And it's like, you know, work with me, Roger. Like, you know, I want to, you know, believe your argument, but you can't tell me what you think art means, then how can you discredit someone else's definition?
I just... Oh, God.
Wait, she's still getting
it. Wait, she's still getting
it. No, go.
I actually wrote out a list of notes just because I was so... I knew that I would get so irritated that I wouldn't be able to keep these thoughts straight in my head. Let me give you guys just a little bit of a background. Yes. By no means am I, like, art... extraordinaire, but, you know, I went to a private art college for a Bachelor of Fine Arts on a scholarship, not only through the high school that I had attended, but also through the college itself. I also, after I graduated with that, went on to further that education as an art, I'm getting angry. I can't even think now. As art educator for like secondary, with the goal of eventually ending up as an art history teacher at college level. So I like to think that I have done my fair share of
what
studying.
What kind of art did you do?
I was primarily painting and drawing. So a lot of oil paints, which that's a whole crazy other story. I got a lot of good stories there. But like a focus on painting and drawing. And so, one, I kind of dropped off the map in regards to art basically after I graduated because I couldn't stand that holier-than-thou mentality that I had to deal with literally on a daily basis, 24 hours a day, of other quote-unquote, you know, student/artists who I couldn't count because there's just so many incidences of how many times that I would go into a class that for a critique, because we'd had critiques every day, and you saw somebody that spent like 2 seconds doing their painting, but because they have a big BS, you know, verbal diarrhea story about how daddy beat them behind this painting, they would get the A versus the person who was very technical but didn't maybe have the grand idea to back it up, and they would be dismissed. Anyway, so this all boils down to, you know, obviously art is very subjective.
Yeah.
The fact that he made such a sweeping generalization of the industry as a whole based on absolutely nothing.
Well, based on no experience, not ever having played a game.
Having never designed a game. You know, he asks, why do you gamers care? And it's like, listen... say that to the person that didn't go to Christmas or spend all of Christmas with their family because they were stuck, you know, developing this game or changing up the character design or doing whatever that they've been working on for months and months and months. And you sit there and tell me who's the person that's not going to care about what you just said.
Right.
You know, you just basically took a huge steaming dump all over their existence.
Yeah.
So there's that. So, I mean, and then he's not even considering all the work and art that goes into just concept.
Right.
Like, I mean, character design, character concept, background, stages, all of that stuff. The art books that people collect when they buy their little special editions, that's all real art made by real people who painted and know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's part of the video game process. Mm-hmm. That should be considered video game art. Then let's look back to like 8-bit art. You know, we've got things up in our lobby that our guys themselves took kind of like this weird 8-bit. I wish you guys could see it on
the they're really, really, really cool.
They're really awesome.
And they were done by Brian Miggles and Brian Altano, two guys who work on IGN.
They're fantastic. They're, these little 8-bit art pieces.
They're like faux NES cartridges, but with modern games.
I actually asked them to like. I actually asked to buy one.
Can I jump in here though? Because I want to bring this. Actually, I had a discussion with a couple of different people. One is a film critic I know right here in the Bay Area, and I got another opinion from someone else about. You have to read his article carefully, but really it comes down to is the game itself art? Is playing the game itself art? Not its components, not its, I mean, look at Final Fantasy, it's gorgeous, the music is gorgeous. Is the gameplay experience itself actually art? And my argument would be yes, and I talked to my friend Sarah Sharon, who's a Bay Area film critic, and she actually knows a contemporary artist a conceptual artist down in LA, who says art is anything that exploits the limits of its matrix. For me, art is just, you have to be a willing participant, and that's all it is. Gaming is what, if not a willing participant? You're willing to go through the experience. It's not just winning the game, but, you know, you play it to get to the end of the story.
Yeah, another argument that he made, too, was that, you know, the interactivity of games basically makes them not art. But anybody who's going to say that art's not interactive. I know, like, people watch a film and come away with a response. People, like, I write fiction. There is no novelist in the world that doesn't have people read their book before it comes out and change things and, you know, take feedback.
Installation pieces, all that stuff. Yeah. Any of
performance
that
stuff. Performance art. Especially
that's
when you're interacting
interactive.
With your audience.
Yeah.
So here's my 2 cents on it all. I don't know why we care, because who cares what Roger Ebert is, a jawless man who has never played a game in his life, and why do we care what he thinks? And I also, honestly, the whole our games art thing to me strikes me as such a navel-gazing thing, and I just get tired of people debating it over and over.
It is a very I totally agree, but I do think that...
Is navel-gazing a form of...
That. Only if you pull out a very pretty piece of lint. That was gross. Anyway.
That was pretty good. I like that.
I do think it's, you know, this is exactly why I stopped doing the art thing, is because I couldn't stand that whole navel-gazing thing. But I do think that you got to be careful not to completely just dismiss it as who cares, only because it's such a huge... He is such an obvious, like, beacon for the generation gap that's occurring right now with... And these old farts don't want to leave.
But they're all going to be dead in 20 years. And,
I know,
you know, we'll
but
get them
I
all
still,
cleaned out.
But I
sorry, Mom and Dad.
To
I love you.
You know?
I would love, though, to convert Megan again speaking, because our listeners are trying to still figure out who is talking.
Okay. Yeah.
So apparently we all have
the same
stem,
voice.
Damn our female vocal cords.
Damn women.
We should all come up with a catchphrase.
I'll start talking like this now.
Yeah. I'll start talking like this. But... I would love to convert Roger Ebert to a gaming fan, though. I think that would be a really cool revelation if we could get him to actually sit down and play, not watch it on YouTube. I mean, there's a different experience between a book and a movie and static art versus, you know, moving art. And I'm just like, if you actually sat down and gave him a game that he could play, a good one, some of the examples in that article, you know, the Waco game, what was that?
Here's the other thing is that I think that he's also just getting some joy out of tweeting, because he knows that everyone will like freak out, the gaming community will freak out, and it's like because I know like Final Fantasy fans are crazy hardcore. I myself, not the biggest Final Fantasy fan of games.
I'll be the big one because that's what I'm known
however, because of that, I like making like derogatory comments about Final Fantasy games, even not based on anything.
Bromley.
Bromley. Because I know people will freak out, and it's really funny to watch. And I think that's
he's
what a lot of it is.
He's totally flame-warring right now.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy.
Scott Bromley is a troll.
Yeah, I just want to go back to something that Dana said, too, about, you know, why do we care, that type of thing. I actually think in the case of games, why some people are wanting to have it designated as art and kind of legitimizing it also goes through the whole political sphere of how there's all these congressmen trying to regulate games. Mm-hmm. And if we can get that designation, games are art, then it's a lot easier for people to say First Amendment. Even though the courts are swaying in our favor anyhow, I think that, you know...
And the Smithsonian is working on its first installation for, at the Art Museum branch of the Smithsonian with video games as an exhibit.
Oh,
and
that's
I think it's coming out in, I think it's 2012, because they the woman who actually kind of is heading it all up and was the one who decided to do it, one of the curators there, was at GDC and gave a talk about it. So
backslapped Ebert's face by the government.
Yeah.
Well, you have to admit, like, it's part of our culture now. Video games are part of how many, you know, songs and TV shows and movies now have references, not just product placement, but just they know it's part of our culture.
Mm-hmm. I just, Christine and I were talking about this on my way to my fabulous lunch of McDonald's today.
Which I will say that Christine is also on my side too. She's with me. She's just
she doesn't care.
Oh yeah, she doesn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't care. We're haters.
Well,
whatever.
We came up with a phenomenal actually, I'm gonna burn in hell for saying this, but that when you spend your existence and make your livelihood by spouting off on other people's hard work, God takes away your lower mandible. And
that means I'm going to lose my lower jaw. That's what I do, too.
You're doomed, man. If that is not a sign to shut up and keep your opinions to yourself, I don't know what is.
You are going to burn
I'm gonna
for
burn.
That one.
But you get all sorts of interesting people.
I have
there.
To stop thinking
she
about
said it first because she called him jawless.
I did. He is. If you have not seen a picture of Ebert, I mean, he unfortunately had, I think, cancer, to have his lower jaw taken out. Pictures of him are freaky.
But it's something to think about, actually, like the disease that affected him and what he's dealing with now. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much meds is he on? How bored is he being stuck at home? How crotchety old bitter man has he gotten that he would sit and do flame war posts like
well,
this?
Well, he's of the I mean, I think he enjoys. I mean, baiting people is fun. Like, especially when you when you get a community that you know exactly how they're going to respond.
Yeah, I mean, his whole career has
Final Fantasy sex
has been kind of
sex. Did you just say
I said Final Fantasy sex?
I heard that too. I was like, Final Fantasy sex. What game was this? What did I miss?
I mean, the other thing too is most of his career has been about being argumentative, because the whole thing that made his TV show amusing was listening to the two of them argue back and forth about the movies. So
but they actually like were in kind of more involved in that world.
But they're experts in cinematography and films and all that stuff.
I'm not saying he had the right. I'm just saying that's the type of
personality type who is not going to be convinced. I mean, my parents are the same, especially my dad. Like, I keep trying to convert my parents and convince them that video games are a worthwhile pastime, like that it's actually, I mean, they watch like NCIS and Numbers, and I'm like, how playing a game actually a better use of your time than watching these shows, which are brain rotting. Although no offense if you like sorry if you actually like NCIS or Numbers, although they're awful shows. Anyway, but it's been a spectacular failure trying to get my parents to believe. And I've just kind of given up. I'm like, all right, whatever. He's not going to change his mind.
Yeah.
He's set in his ways.
I mean,
and same with Ebert.
It's back to what Jess was saying with the generation gap.
Yeah.
I think that, it's kind of hopeless to try to convince these people. And then, like you said, 20 years from now, you know, we're going to be the old people making all the policies. And
I hope I don't end up like that. I hope I don't.
No, I think we'll be more open.
It does make me wonder what's the thing that I'm going to be doing
know,
that about.
Exactly.
What's the new
thinking,
thing that we don't know about? What's going to be like what game, you know, to me, what games are to my parents.
The only people from knowing and exploring it is the fact that they're scared of it, or they're just tired of learning. And it basically is just saying, hey, you know what? I'm done. So I'm just going to sit here in my lawn chair and do nothing and let complain about all of you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's no reason as you get older to stop educating or exploring.
Yeah.
Like, there's really, I mean, and it should be so much easier on the internet if people of that age knew how to use it.
Well,
so I just don't understand. I really hope I don't end up the person that sits on their back porch complaining.
I know, but I'm going to be, because I'm so turning into my dad.
But there's hope. There's an elderly gentleman who's almost 90, goes for like a 3-mile walk every day with his iPod and everything, and he is more literate about iPhones and computers than I am, and I work at IGN, so you do not have to turn into an old fogey.
That's true. Dude,
my mother-in-law, Betty White, she's awesome.
Yeah, she rocks.
My mother-in-law does play games too, so I'm like, okay.
There you go.
Yeah, but the point I was trying to make, actually, is that we were all going to be more open-minded, and things are going to get better when we're older and, you know,
hopefully
running the world.
I hope so.
God, I hope so.
Sweet.
What if I turn into an intolerant curmudgeon? Oh, I probably am.
Don't show that man dancing below the waist. His legs are jiggling too much.
Not to, just to slide this one in, but there is a whole thing going around about paperless manuals.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
There's a bit of a generation gap I've noticed with some people. I'm all for it just for the environment reasons. And I know, is it Ubisoft that's doing it?
Yes.
It's all manuals, for profit.
Game manuals have been useless for the past...
Exactly.
Yeah. Pretty much. But it's interesting that some people have a real nostalgia for it. And I'm like, yeah, but that was like, 20, 30 years ago when it was basically a requirement because I had no idea what the heck was going on and what to do.
I think, like you said, it's nostalgia. It makes for good. Like when you get a new game and you got to run to the bathroom, you grab the pamphlet, you sit there and read it while you're sitting.
Speak for yourself.
Okay, maybe.
No,
it's just me.
No, it's not. My husband. My husband does the same thing.
Yeah,
and
you just kind of flip through it, and you're like, all right, I'll glance through this while I'm waiting. And then you're done, and you go play your game.
There are 2/3 of our game manuals are not in their boxes. They are in our bathroom.
There you go. Is that an actual fact?
That's awesome. Are they for newer games or are they for older games?
They kind of rotate, right. Usually it's the newer ones, but sorry, Isaac. He's really bad about leaving things in the bathroom. I don't understand it because I don't read in the bathroom, but
it's comfortable in there.
I totally read in the bathroom.
I've read for long amounts of time. I read to the point where you're kind of like your butt cheeks go numb and you're like, I think maybe I should have a ring around.
See, I'm a real girly girl. I read in the bathtub.
Oh, I do that too.
I soak.
Which,
and I get
that is
bubbles.
The one problem with the, I got a Kindle and that is the biggest. So I've been like in the tub and I'm like, and I have done it twice.
You dropped it?
No. But I have read it. But I've been terrified the whole time. I'm like, what if I drop it? I'm going to be so pissed off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And potentially harming myself. I don't think I would. I don't think
I
they would
never do that. No, it wouldn't. You'd be fine. It's battery run, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be okay.
Yeah. However, because I like to read in the tub, but that's the problem with Kindle.
I've lost many books by dropping them into the tub. I've had
to pay for library books because I have dropped them in the tub.
My sister will not loan me books anymore because she's one of those people who really cherishes and loves them. And I take them everywhere and I hold them close and I drop them in the bathtub and I fling them down on the floor and I take them with me when I travel around the world.
Sleep with them.
It's true. I have fallen asleep in bed with my book. I wake up and I'm so happy.
No respect, I tell you. No, I'm just kidding. I just bought a Nook, so. So that tells you how much I value the actual printed copies as well. The only books that I care about are the ones that I have autographed by the authors.
Yeah, those ones I'll take care of are leather-bound books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Those are nice.
Yeah. But if it's paperback...
What leather-bound books do you have?
Totally
I have no
topic,
leather-bound books.
Check out folio.com. Actually, Pear turned me on to this. It's this website that they reprint classic editions, but in the manner that they were originally.
Oh, and cool. Oh, wow.
And they're actually... Even though they're a reprint and obviously probably not as valued as the originals, they're still considered major collectible items.
That'd be great if you get Pride and Prejudice and Zombies and the original.
They're gorgeous. They're gorgeous books.
Interesting.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Check it out. We've devolved into a book club.
I was
going to
say books. Right. I just wrote it down next to when you were talking about art and art school and I was my own art abilities. Isn't that lovely?
That's art.
Yeah.
Pop
it
art.
Is yeah. art. Creative yeah. endeavor.
You can't it's see art, this, but it's book. A beautiful stick figure.
It is. We'll scan it and post it.
It's Michael
Facebook page.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Dana's art here, Holly.
Actually, we should put that
Dana's
on our little paragraph art. Thingy, like where we post on IGN.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we don't have
our little
pictures.
Logo. It'll be like, girl fights.
Yeah.
have her going, boobs.
We'll see. I'll debate throughout the rest of the podcast. I guess you'll have to just go to the Facebook page to see if I caved to peer pressure.
Yes. Maybe. Yeah. No.
All right. How are we doing on time? Shall we move into
questions? Yeah, let's
questions?
Move on to questions.
All right. So we got quite a few questions. And in case you didn't hear in the first podcast, if you have questions, feedback, anything that you would like to say to us, you can send it to igngirlfight@gmail.com. And the reason that it's a Gmail address and not an IGN address is because we've gone gorilla.
We have gone rogue. I think we should push that more. That guys, yeah. this is really
the podcast IGN the didn't boys. Want you to hear.
Yeah, oh, I like that. That works. We're getting there. Well, I can't say what I was going to say. I don't know if I can. Probably yeah. not.
This okay. is true. Our bosses were skeptical.
Yep. They were. Yes. yes.
So we said, fine, we don't need you. We'll just use your equipment.
Yep. yeah. And now we're beating all the boys.
Yep. Yes.
That yeah. includes yeah. GameScoop. That includes Beyond.
Yes. Yesterday, we've actually...
I'm always waiting. That was your opportunity, yeah. Tess.
We dropped a little bit today. I checked on iTunes. But yesterday, we were number 4 overall in the video game
nice.
Category, which is pretty
with no
cool.
promotion,
with,
no nothing.
Yes.
Just, all you just guys, all you listeners, promotion. Thank you so
yes.
much.
Yeah. It is all thanks to you.
Yes. So, question. First question here from Andrew G. Even though you work at IGN, has a significant other ever gotten you into a game you would not have normally played or looked into?
No.
Nope.
My significant other... likes playing games, but definitely goes like long stretches without playing anything. And I will bring home games all the time, and I'll be like, here you go, this would be really fun. And he won't look at it. And then like a year later, he'll come over and he'll be like, so someone was talking about this Oblivion game. And I'm like, it's been sitting in our cupboard for the last however long. And so, and then he'll play it and he'll get obsessed. So like Fallout 3, he played all the way through right. and like got almost every achievement point for it, and it was actually right when we had our daughter, and so he was home on paternity leave. He's been nice. Playing Fallout 3, holding the baby, playing the game.
Yeah, but speaking of Oblivion, I'm mm-hmm. actually the opposite. My husband, well, uh-huh. my husband is a game developer, so yeah. obviously he's always pushing games in our home. So Oblivion, he got me into Oblivion. I was mm-hmm. kind of overwhelmed by it. At first, mm-hmm. I was like, I'd never played an RPG like that before. And I was like, oh, I can't do it. So he walked mm-hmm. me through it. He's like, here, you should be this type of character. And, you know, these are your stats. And I'm so glad that he did it because I ended up loving that game. And if I hadn't played Oblivion, I probably wouldn't have played Fallout mm-hmm. or Dragon Age or, you know, any mm-hmm. of the similar RPGs, which is really cool. Although he has failed at trying to getting me into a game. Mm-hmm. as well. That game is Geometry Wars. There's nothing wrong with the game. I just suck at it. I cannot play that game to save my life.
And so on 360?
On 360, yep. yeah. And he loves that game. And
it's
like,
so pretty.
It is
it's
pretty.
It's pretty, but it's...
Yeah, it's tough.
It's hard.
Hard.
Yes. So
I'm a girl.
I don't know how many times he tried to be like, "You can do it. You could play it. You can." And I'm like, "No, I just."
But
I
you
can't.
Can play it. You're just not playing it well.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I suck at that game.
Yeah. I die after like 2 minutes.
I kind of suck at games as a whole, but I'm a big fan of the easy mode. I think it's a very underrated mode, and there's nothing wrong in not being good at playing games. You can still enjoy
them.
You see,
my husband gives me such a hard time if I play anything on easy mode, because like God of War, I had to play on easy mode because I had to review it for What They Play. I had to get through it in a day.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, wow. I'm not going to try to play this on normal and get stuck right. and not be able to get through it. So play through it on easy. So when we actually got the game at home, mm-hmm. Isaac's like, well, now you got to play it on hard to make up for the fact that you played it
no,
on easy.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it depends on what are you going into the game for. Are you right. going into yeah. the game because you like the graphics? Are you right. going into the game because yeah. you want to see the story?
Exactly.
I mean, you don't need to go and see the story under hard mode.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I kind of flux
although
between...
for the record, I am playing through God of War on hard right now. Mm-hmm. And I do have to say, it
you know
feels
what? I
gameplay
would not
wise,
think less of you if you did not.
Gameplay wise, it feels like a very different game.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, on the easier, I don't know about normal. Well, I know normal in the old God of Wars. So you can basically go in and just whack everybody.
Yeah, you can totally button mash.
You cannot do that on hard.
Really?
You cannot.
Huh,
you will get
yeah.
I wouldn't
you
know because I don't like playing games on
like,
hard.
In previous God of Wars,
don't
I would
play
never.
Demon's Souls then. Yeah. That game is impossible.
Oh, God, I can't even get past game. The first. I do not like a game where I cannot get past the first level. Don't tell me, oh, it's
I just
a
don't
real
like
special
getting
challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but in God of War, like the previous ones, I would never deal with the ranged weapon. Mm-hmm. Like in God of War 3, you get a bow.
Right.
I found myself using the bow
really?
More than almost anything else. Because it's like, I can stay at a distance, shoot, 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 dodge, 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 shoot, 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 dodge. And you have to do that.
I
you
don't
have
like,
to dodge. You have
I don't
to block.
Like having,
to...
I don't like having to use defensive moves. I just like going in there and wailing on stuff.
Yes. I thought it was refreshing in God of War 3, though. I actually had to think about, instead of just button mashing, I had to roll and dodge. And use different
right, yeah.
weapons and do stuff. Even the puzzles, you gotta move.
Yeah,
I guess.
I kind of flux between. I almost never play on hard. I usually stick to average, like normal, or easy. Like Bayonetta, I played on easy, really just because I wanted to see Bayonetta, and I had no desire to actually finish the game.
Yeah,
I watched my husband.
Did you get the argument that it was actually empowering to women?
Oh God! Let's not get started.
Okay, sorry.
I get it.
One of the male editors in the office was trying to explain to me that the game was actually empowering to women.
Yes.
I mean, I guess in a sense you can see that side of the argument only because she's a powerful female character.
When a guy argues that to you, you're like,
yeah. You kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see
the way she walks
see,
around with her hand on her hip.
Yeah, I can see both sides of that argument. It's like. Yeah, it's the Madonna
this isn't a video
versus
podcast.
The horror kind
yeah.
of concept where it's like, use the powers you've got to do what you can. It's unfortunate. Yeah. That's all boobs, but, you know, I'm just saying.
What
I liked the ending. I thought the whole thing was fun.
Yeah. Actually, one of my blog readers, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Setimix, Setaimx, actually, to lead into that is like, what about games with female protagonists? What's your favorite game involving a female protagonist?
Beyond Good and Evil.
Mine is Primal.
I would have to say, although I don't know if she would be defined as a protagonist, more of an antagonist, but I really liked Edea in Final Fantasy VIII.
Ah,
she to me was just the hotness and was completely like powerful and awesome, but classy and sexy, but not being Bayonetta yeah. sexy, you yeah. know, like slutty sexy, but just like cool. And
yeah,
oh, I just loved
the Tina Fey of game characters.
She's a bit above Tina Fey. I like Tina Fey, but she's a bit above Tina Fey.
What about you, Megan?
I had to really think about this one because I have so many, but one of the first that popped in my head was Noriko from Heavenly Sword.
Oh,
the game was okay, and she dresses sexy, but she's very intelligent. She's very serious. You know, she's not a ditz, but she's not like manly man kind of girl.
Yeah, yeah, that's
she's
why
the perfect balance.
That's why I liked Primal, which is kind of an old game. It came out on PS2. Yeah. Jen, the main character in that, is very normal mm-hmm. girl. She's, you know, got a nice figure. She has a decent rack, but not a huge one. Mm-hmm. And she was smart. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that was the first time that I had played a game where, you know, a woman was actually represented in what I felt was a very normal way.
Yeah, yeah. Another good one, kind of in that normal, you know, normal realm. I mean, she's obviously gorgeous, but she's not so flamboyant. Would be, and I'm gonna totally blank on her name, but the Mirror's Edge character.
Faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was a nice mix of just kind of like.
That game made me so sick, though, because
I could
not play it.
That game.
First person jumping? No. Yeah.
The game is fun if you race through it. That's the only way I enjoyed the game. I wasn't crazy about the story, but I liked Faith, and I loved racing through it.
Well,
once
the time
you get
trials were the best.
Yeah, that was the funnest part of the game.
Yeah. No, Jade and Beyond Good and Evil, but it was the same sort of thing. You know, it's like this powerful, you know, or smart, and she's like doing it herself, and she doesn't need the dude to come on in and fix stuff for her.
Yeah, she's another good one.
I could do a little with a little bit less, you know, rescuing the woman. Although that's across all pop culture. That's not unique to games.
Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah.
All right. So this next one comes from Kirby Jackson. Kirby Jackson. That sounds like a famous person.
Are you famous, Kirby?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because of Kirby.
Maybe. Although the only Kirby that I know is Kirby who works at... Where does he work
I
now?
Was actually referring
to the pink game character.
I'm sorry. There is a Kirby who used to work at Konami, and he was at Sega, Kirby Fong. Very funny guy. Anyhow. Hi, Kirby, if you're listening.
All three of you.
Yeah. Kirby Jackson says, "Hi, Gamer Girls. Just heard the podcast. Nice work. Hope this is a regular thing. You ladies need cool intro-outro music. We know.
We do.
Yes.
We're working on it.
We're working on it. Also, too, if you happen to be a musician or in a band and you would like to offer to make us a cool intro outro,
and just
send
so
us
nobody's
a note.
Feeling gets hurt it doesn't necessarily mean we're gonna pick it
right
but we would love to see the offer
and we did have ideas for intro outro music but we were not allowed to use them because we can't pay the
licensing
them.
So for those that don't know much about it, you know, record companies are evil and they own pretty much all the music and they charge exorbitant rates for it to be licensed.
Yeah, and I don't want us paying for a little Jong song anyway.
Yes.
Never mind.
Okay, so Kirby's note goes on a side note, I think the developers need to keep this trend going with girl characters playing more vital roles. I love Mass Effect 1 and 2. If I were in Shepard's situations, of course I would totally be hooking up. You go through some major some major stuff with them, and it's only realistic that you get close to your team members. And on the flip side, it's cool to see a sexy badass who is smart and can give just as much as the boys. I'm interested in seeing what Epic does with Anya in Gears 3. She didn't look like a steroid-loaded moron like Marcus or Dom, but still looked deadly. Well, as deadly as you can look in a one-second shot in a trailer. And it proves that chicks don't need to be scantily clad to be sexy. Thanks for the comment. There wasn't really a question.
Yeah, yeah. Say, yeah. What's the question? You know what? He totally reminds me. Okay, that's my protagonist. Is Shepherd, my female Shepherd. Yeah. Okay. I love my female Shepherd.
I'd have to say my favorite female protagonist is probably my character from Dragon Age, Yuna. She's awesome.
Dragon Age is so good.
Oh, Lieutenant Kirby wants to know which video game character we would date
another
in
Kirby?
Real life. Yeah.
Oh, he sent us a question too.
Lieutenant Kirby.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, Lieutenant Kirby could be the same guy. I don't know.
No. I mean, I've got one. Lieutenant Kirby.
Oh, do you? He wants
Lieutenant
to be...
Kirby, send all your questions to one place next time, please. Thank you.
He is excited. He wants to be on this. Thank you, Lieutenant Kirby, so much. We appreciate it, but it's easier to collect your questions in one thing. So he wants to know, what character would we date in real life if, say, you know, Alistair was in real life, or Mario? Who would we date in real... which video game character would we date?
Well, you see, there's a difference in my mind between somebody that I would date and somebody that I think looks hot.
Oh. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, do I have to date them?
I know a lot of people, both in real life and in not real life, that I don't necessarily want to date them.
Okay, well, date specific, not just so-and-so's
hot. Meg, I think you and I are going to have to fight over Alistair.
No, Nathan Drake.
Goodbye. Oh, good call!
He is like hot.
He is. That's
hot.
Mine. Mm. And he's funny.
If Nathan and Drake and dreamy. Alistair could have babies.
Yeah. Alistair's too brooding. He would be so no fun to be out at a bar. He'd just be like slouching in the corner and like checking people out.
I would disagree with his brooding, but I do find him very kind of wussy sometimes. Yeah. When he's complaining about not wanting to be king, I'm like, suck it up, dude.
Yeah.
No, I understand.
Nathan Drake.
I understand.
Boom.
So, okay, that's Nathan Drake. Justin and I are going to have a death match of Alistair.
Just like Nathan Drake.
With Alistair, too.
That would be nice.
It was nice. Yeah.
He was... He was kind of a dork. He was a cute dork.
Who is this?
Alistair from Dragon Age.
Yeah. On the hot side, though, I would say Dante from Devil May Cry.
Oh, that's an interesting call. I would say Kratos, but he's such a swaggering
chomp. He killed his wife.
And child.
He didn't mean to do it. Ares sort of, put a spell on him. And why am I trying to justify this?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So you're that woman who has, you have the prison pen pal that you're going to go marry?
You can't see this, listeners, but
there's nothing wrong with a little hair pulling.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He didn't mean it. He was framed.
Let's see. So we've got another question here from Samuel H. Van Dam. Hi, Girlfriend. Cool. I'm a young, handsome fellow. Sure you are. Who's very interested in hearing how you see... No, I'm kidding. Very interested in hearing how you see yourself with so many men with insecurities towards women. Now, I know that life is a little bit different in the U.S. than in Denmark. I assume he's from Denmark.
Oh, that's awesome.
Referring to the fact that
the line... Well, his last name's Van Damme. Come on.
The line between geeks and preps in Denmark is very thin. Well, maybe we should move to Denmark. I can't remember who said it, but someone at the PAX East Live podcast said that he was scared of women or something very similar, like intimidated. So it made me wonder how much you think you've changed because of the environment you work in every day with so many geeks and some of them with somewhat very serious but also slightly entertaining issues with women. I believe it is best to take whatever people say with a grain of salt. What are the ups and downs? He wrote a really long question. So basically, he wants to know how we feel about the geeky guys who are intimidated by us.
Why are you guys all looking at me?
No, I don't know. Well, I mean,
because you would have more experience.
Because I'm an old married lady. Yeah. I'm not terrible. I don't feel like I'm terribly intimidating.
I don't feel like I'm intimidating either. And, like, I actually have the, I don't want to say good fortune. Before I worked at IGN, I worked in PR. So I spent lots of time at trade shows, working booths and everything. And for some reason... guys didn't seem to be intimidated by me. Even the little shy ones who stared at their feet, like they would always want to hug me and things of that nature, which was actually kind of scary.
I want to touch a woman, may I hug you?
Yeah, but they like weren't scared to like come up to me and say stuff.
I get a little bit of the opposite of that, but I think that's more just because of the position, the job position I have, and it's not
right.
But it actually has affected me in a good way, because the people that do come over and say hi really obviously appreciate and like what I do. So that makes me feel good, because they're putting mm-hmm. forth the effort and kind of getting over that shyness. Mm-hmm. And then also it makes me kind of, it just working in this industry in general and being a girl where, you know, even not necessarily these, you know, just our coworkers.
Like, right.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I mean, you're surrounded by guys all day. It's actually made me more confident, and like, I've been forced to stand up for myself. I've been mm-hmm. forced to like really push for things that I want to have happen. And mm-hmm. obviously, you know, with the podcast, we had to do that as well. Not to say that anybody was rudely telling us no, but at the same time, it's like, we had to basically force our way into doing it. So it's
I love the nerdy boys. I love working with them. Yeah. I mean, I've been doing this for coming up on 9 years, and the people that I get to work with are like so much of the reason why this is so appealing to me, because it's just, I don't know, I really, really, really like
I dig
it.
The nerdy boys too. I married one. My husband is a programmer.
My mom
and a stereotypical one.
Totally. When I was growing up, she always used to say, you know, don't worry about the guys in football or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you should be dating a nerdy guy. And I would be like, what are you talking about, Mom?
Right.
I'm like, why would I want to date a nerdy guy? And she said,
especially
well, they're the ones
the football
that are,
players get fat later on.
Yeah, she's like, they're the ones that are going to love you and treat you right and who, you know, are smart and intelligent and are going to make something of themselves later on. And it has completely proven itself to be true.
Yep. Yep. No, and they're funny. Like, people are funny. Yeah. Funny guys. Yep. I'm a fan. And I've actually found, because the only times that I feel like I've gotten any, I don't think I've ever had it with people that I work with directly, but the only time that I've ever gotten anything, like, oh, you're a girl sort of thing from just random readers, any time that I've actually responded, they always back down. And it's like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean it that way. And, you know, and.
I think they forget that, you know, you're actually a person too on the other end of that email and you're reading it and you have feelings, and that some of what they say is so ridiculously rude.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, you talk to your mother that, you know, with that mouth.
Right.
You're lucky I don't, you know, reach through this computer screen and slap you silly.
Right.
So,
exactly.
So and so sucks doesn't help us, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, or like, you're fat and ugly. Okay.
Yeah, that's something that I've sorry, it's completely off topic, but the fat and ugly thing just you know, spawned on me, because I made my opinions on Bayonetta known, and in the second opinions article, and I really got attacked.
Really?
But the thing that I got attacked about was everybody was like, "Oh, you must be fat and ugly and have body issues."
Interesting.
Which was interesting, and I started to think like,
yeah, nobody would ever say that to any of the guys.
Why is that an insult to us women? Like, they think that we care more about that than our intelligence.
It sounds like they have an argument in the first place. Anyway, did you bother to read my opinion, or like, you must not like it because of this and this? And it's like, no, actually, there's gameplay issues, or there's, you know.
I think it's just throwing stones. You know, you're a girl in a boy's playground, and it's the they're not there to try and argue with you on an intelligent level. They're there to hurt your feelings.
Yeah,
and so if they feel like, who's this stranger walking in thinking she knows everything and is going to tell me what to do? And I think that actually is based less, that attitude and the reason why they react is probably based less in, you know, I think it's based more in just the way that boys in general are raised by society. Mm. Like, you're the one that they're made to feel that they're the ones in charge. Mm-hmm. And that if a woman steps up and says something, and she starts questioning that authority, then she needs to be knocked down a peg or two, because then you become the bitch. Or
it seems
we're gonna have to beep that, huh?
It'll be fine.
Okay.
It's
they
in reference.
It on TV.
Okay, sweet. It's
on TV.
But it's in reference to the argument anyway.
Yeah.
That's you know, you get labeled that.
Right.
So,
like, you didn't call me one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No.
So,
we only do that off.
Whatever. I never would do that.
Dana,
I'll tell you.
Rhymes with witch.
All right.
Such an asshat.
Yes, exactly. Oh, please. Yeah. If you're going to insult me, please call me an asshat.
Oh, my gosh. How awesome that would the awesome argument word. In here would be if we started.
Yes.
That would be great.
How are we on time?
We have time probably for one more question.
Okay, let's take one from Pascal X. Hey guys, just finished listening to the pilot show. Awesome work. Thank you, Pascal. And I had a question. How long do you think a series like Pokemon can last with such a simple formula? And how long do you think the fan base could really keep supporting a franchise like that?
I can't believe it's not over.
Will be around forever.
I think it'll be around forever, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I don't understand it, but I think it'll be around forever. Like,
there's definitely an addictive formula that appeals to, like, you're just going to keep indoctrinating new kids into it. And
it's always the thrill of something new.
And the collecting.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know.
Although, to be fair, we all thought that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers would be around forever, and they finally
went
away.
Dude, they still keep making games, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games, and do you watch the boys that we work with every time they announce a new one? They're like, oh, maybe this one will be good.
And Power Rangers are still around.
Are they? Yes. No, I used to be a huge TMNT fan. But, you know, if they don't.
Yeah, no, I hate them, too. My brother. Yeah.
The Turtles?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's telling. In
Strawberry Shortcake, though, I love that.
I did too.
That show rocked.
In the case of. In the case
of. Man for me.
Yeah.
All hot guys.
But in the case of Pokemon, like, they haven't really come out with new games.
No.
These are rehashes of old games, and they're still selling
out,
like mad.
But they're coming out with new characters all the time.
Yep. Yeah. But,
so it kind of, like, feeds into
gotta
that.
Gotta catch them all.
Yeah.
So,
because they tell me to. I need to catch them all.
But that tells you it doesn't have anything to do with the gameplay.
It's the collecting.
It's the collecting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think kids will be
actually, into that's a great point. It does perfectly show you it has absolutely nothing to do with gameplay. It is all collecting.
Yeah.
And that's why they don't change anything.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks so much for listening. At the last podcast, we didn't have all of our pages set up yet, but now we do have a Facebook page, so please become a fan or like now, as Facebook has changed their semantics. Facebook.com/IGN Girl Fight. You can also follow us on Twitter @IGN Girl Fight as well.
Are we tweeting yet?
Yes, we've
got a page, and we posted the last link to the last podcast up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I would love to get like people commenting and other, you know, get things
start
started.
Tweeting. Right. I've been out of the loop. I was out of the office when this actually went up. So
We have Twitter. We have Facebook. We will be obviously we'll be posting whenever we post the podcast. But, you know, we'll log on as we have time and do other stuff as well. And again, if you have questions, comments, virtual gifts that you want to send us, you can send them to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com, and we will try to get through as much reader mail as we can.
That's seeds for your farm.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what
seeds
they do?
For your farm.
Yeah. If anybody wants to gift me some virtual currency in Facebook, I wouldn't mind.
Wow.
Anyhow, straight out.
But
not really HR. Ha ha.
Right, exactly. So thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Listeners.